Now off a giveaway, score! Anthony Beauvillier sends the Islanders down to Tampa for Game 7 on Friday night.
Islanders country, hello. This is PT Isles, the Believe edition. Alongside Noel Fogelman, I'm Ozblog's Joe Bono. A reminder, you can listen to this show and all Lighthouse Hockey podcasts on iTunes. Please rate and review or find us on Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, or over at lighthousehockey.com. Lighthouse Hockey, your SB Nation home for your New York Islanders coverage. Noel, I don't think you slept much last night from what I hear. Neither did I, and it had nothing to do with my two-week-year-old. You were at Game 6. Tell us all about it.
Wow. So I've been an Islander fan for, I would say, since the Drive for Five, so 84. So it's almost 40 years now, 37 to be exact. Been going to Coliseum. First game was 85. As you can tell, I lost my voice a little bit, like many Islander fans from Thursday night. That was the most unbelievable experience I've ever had. And I'm sure I'm not alone. I'm sure more than 13,000 fans who were there can attest to that. It was electric. I was a little nervous when they scored the second goal, Cirelli, in the second period. Let the steam out of the arena for a little bit. Their 5-on-3 power play also let the steam out. But the steam, it's like the Undertaker. You got to bury the steam. You got to nail the casket.
Cockroach.
Exactly. You know, and a lot of people think the Islanders, including their fans, are cockroaches. But you know what? Who cares? They keep coming back. You know, that Jordan Eberle goal, desperately needed that. I was a little concerned why he was going backhand there, but what do I know? Because totally fooled Vasilevsky. That got the crowd right back into it. And noted goon, Scott Mayfield, who everyone wanted barred from the league on Twitter, apparently. What a shot. And we know how critical I've been of Scott Mayfield over this past year. I take everything back. He's been fantastic this offseason, this postseason. That snipe yesterday was fantastic. He's got a sneaky good shot. And that erupted. And from that point on, it was just lights out. When Billy scored that goal, I've never heard a place louder than it was. People hugging, the jubilation, the relief, everything. And then, you know, everything gets thrown on the ice, whatever. I mean, I'm not a fan of that, but whatever, as long as it didn't hurt anybody. But, you know, it's kind of funny because the Coliseum, they always take the caps off the drinks. And, you know, because you don't want to throw us on the ice. All right, we'll throw the bottles on the ice. Who cares? So, but no caps, you know, save the
and
caps.
A shoe, as we saw today shoe, on yeah. Twitter. So there was a shoe that was sitting on the blue line.
Yeah, looking at Jordan, yeah.
People wanted to know what the backstory was. And, of course, there was a full-length video with the story of the guy chugging beer and then grabbing a shoe and flinging it onto the ice. So you're asking,
well.
And you shall receive. But, you know, these things don't always go according to plan. As a fan, you want to believe in these magical moments and how they're all going to kind of come together. And even when your team is behind, the rally and these amazing moments, if you're a Mets fan and the Yankee mystique, et cetera. But, you know, we've had buildings closed under not so fantastic circumstances in the New York area in recent years. Shea Stadium in 2008, Mets finishing a second collapse, losing on the final day of the season to the Marlins. Yankees didn't make the postseason in 2008, didn't even have a playoff game the final year. Yankee Stadium, Giants got demolished before they closed out Giants Stadium, although the Jets, did play and won the final game at the Meadowlands at a game I was at, freezing cold against the Cincinnati Bengals, won that very easy fashion. So you don't know how this is going to go. So even as the story is developing in this, you know, the stage is set for some kind of magic to happen, it doesn't always materialize, but it did last night. And they're down 2-0 and you're like, okay, you know what? They get one, the crowd's going to get into it. They're going to get another push. They had played a pretty good game and they had more shots on goal in Tampa. Yeah. You could, you know, they were probably the better team. You know, Braden Point's going to get his goal a game. You're going to have to live with that.
Yeah.
But when they had the 5-on-3 Noel and then did not score, you're going, ugh. It just may not happen here. And what a lost opportunity. Kucherov's out pretty much the entire game. You're gifted a 5-on-3 and not able to tie the game. You're not able to get on the board. Like you said, the Eberle goal woke up the building. Barzal was a man possessed in the third period. Obviously, that one shift where he had the puck 25, 30 seconds on his stick, trying to set up everyone, getting a couple of shots on himself. And ultimately, he's the one who sets up Scott Mayfield for that game-tying goal. And for some reason, I got more nervous at 2-2. I don't know if you were the same way. At 2-1, it was kind of like, well, you know, they're going to be able to do it. This is an uphill battle. And then all of a sudden, it was 2-2. I was like, oh, my God, you better win this game now. You can't give up a goal now.
Yeah.
And I got really, really nervous. There weren't any, like, oh, my God, type of saves, but Varlamov was good as well. And I'm very thankful that we didn't have to wait too long for the heroics of Anthony Beauvillier in overtime.
Absolutely, who had a horrendous game. I mean, he was terrible. But you know what? All it takes is one goal, and let's give props to Scott to Josh Bailey for that pass. And he just, you know, just beat Vasilevskiy. But that's when, even at the end of the third, they had they're down a man. And we all thought,
Up, you know, on 45%. The Matt Martin high sticking. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, which, I mean, it was kind of hard to tell, but I
lifted the stick. Yeah, the stick got lifted.
Yeah, so, I mean, whatever. I mean, we can all kill the officials because they've been brutal for both teams and every team in this postseason. So, but you know what? You know what they're going to call and not call. So you're going to take advantage of that. And both teams did yesterday. You know, Stamkos had the brush check on Brock Nelson. We all knew the chant that came after that.
And then he got his bloody nose himself later on.
Right, exactly. And Scott Mayfield took advantage of it too. Don't blame the players. Blame the officiating. The officiating dictates what the player is going to do. So, you know what? And it's just like that in the Western Conference, Campbell Conference, whatever semifinal you want to call it. That's going on there too. Officiating's been terrible. So let's see if the league can handle that in the offseason. But, I mean, thank God it was a quick overtime because, you know, I had to drive back.
Hey, your heart couldn't take it. I understand. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was in the building on Saturday night. Got a chance to drive from Connecticut. First time driving from Connecticut to Long Island. It wasn't too bad going there. And then, of course, on the way back, the Throgs Neck Bridge is like a lane closure. There's an accident. You're like, what's going on at 12:30 in the morning? I can't get home. Like, in an hour, it takes me an hour and 45 minutes to get home. But I was happy and wide awake after that exhilarating win. And you're right, walking through the parking lot before the game, and you just go, wow, this is so special. This is not going to exist. Even as great as Belmont we expect it to be, this is not going to exist. And just the sea of color and orange and blue and all the different jerseys and different ages and generations that you see and all the hijinks that are going on out there before a game. And then just something about getting into that arena, even when the team was down and bad, when you get into a Coliseum and you heard the Let's Go Islanders chant, there was something always special about it. Even when, again, the team was missing the playoffs and down on the standings, it was intoxicating. So you do that times 1,000 in terms of the energy before a game, and then the national anthem and this new tradition that has started by accident by Nicole Ravives. Her mic went out. Audience, the crowd picked it up, and then since then it's kind of been a great moment for Islander fans to kind of showcase their vocal cords. But all leading up in that build out, and then in the game I was at, you're out to a 3-0 lead, it's party time, and next thing you know it's 3-2, and now you're holding your breath and then you think you're going to get away with it, and all of a sudden you have a unbelievable, the save heard around the island, around the world, Ryan Pulock on Ryan McDonagh. And you look at that play, Noel, you look at the Beauvillier goal, the comeback 2-0 lead. If you're just writing a story, the Islanders are winning game 7. And the Islanders might be winning the Stanley Cup. And you want to almost protect these moments. And the way you protect these moments is by winning the series.
Right.
You know, they were beyond special for anyone that's there. It'll be memories that, you know, if it's the last Coliseum game I was ever at, game 4, it was heck of a game. Probably the only game that could have been better was game 6, the one you went to last night. But to protect those moments and make them as iconic as they want to be in Islander lore, got to win the game Friday night.
Absolutely. And you can look at other moments in like New York lore. We got the Jeter play, the flip play against the Athletics in the playoffs. They won that series. Look at the, you mentioned the 2006 Mets and Andy Chavez, that amazing catch. Basically all for naught because they lost that game. The John Starks dunk against the Bulls, game 293 also, you know, forgotten because they lost the series. That save and the Pavelia goal and games 4 and 6. I mean, they're great now. We got the t-shirts printed and everything like that. They got to go out and win. They have to go out and win. They haven't, and this is, if they buck this trend, they're going to win the game. If they score the first goal, which they haven't done in any of the previous 18 games.
18 games. I heard that stat two games ago. I heard that stat right. Driving out to the Coliseum, yeah. Listening to ESPN radio before the game. And I was like, was that true? Like, well, yeah. Eric Hornick said so it must right. be true.
Yeah.
And then they continue to do it. Unbelievable.
Right. I should say that it was 18 games not scoring or not having the lead in the first period.
Not having the lead. Yeah. Not having the lead in the first, after the end of the first period. And that's a Stanley Cup record. Just crazy. Yeah.
Right. And this team's still playing. I mean, if you coming back from all these, I think they've come back 8 times already in the postseason. This team never say quit, never say die. And you just have to withstand the first 10 minutes tomorrow night. You know, it's, you know, there's no pressure on this team tomorrow. There's no pressure on the Islanders. It's all on Tampa. They're the home team. They're supposed to beat the Islanders in 3 games. It's supposed to be done already.
And if you're Tampa, you score 12 consecutive goals, exactly. You just embarrass them 8-0 in a game like probably the worst game Barry Trotz has ever seen behind a bench in professional hockey on a team that he's coached. And that's coming off of an exhilarating game 4 win where the series is tied.
Right.
Yet the door's blown off. You're just non-competitive. 45 seconds in, it's 1-0. Another bad bounce, 2-0, 3-0. You pull your goaltender and you know, after maybe just a little bit of a buzz at the start of the second period, but other than that, you're pretty much just skating around for 60 minutes waiting for the clock to run out.
Pretty much, yeah.
So if you're Tampa right now and you see the way you beat them in game 5, 12 consecutive goals, and you're tied 3-3 and you're playing in game 7, potentially without your best player, you're going, what the heck is going on?
Right.
There's going to be a lot of pressure on them, but – yeah, there's a lot of pressure on the Islanders, too. You don't know how often you're going to get here. You don't know how large of a window. And this is not a young team like we've talked about before. They have a lot of players that are right around that 30 years old, a number that is part of their core. And they're now one step further this year than they were last year by getting this to a game 7. And listen, we're recording this as the Vegas Golden Knights are playing the Montreal Canadiens in game 6 with Montreal leading 3-2. There's a chance that the Islanders could be playing not only for a trip to the Stanley Cup final, but for an opportunity to host game 1 of the finals if Montreal were to win, which just would just be insane, just absolutely incredible if that were to happen. So, you know, the script is there for them. Can they finish the job? You know, you look for things that make you feel more confident about it. You know, Barry Trotz, when the Washington Capitals finally got over the hump, they were down 3-2 to Tampa, won a game 6, won a game 7 in Tampa on their way to winning a Stanley Cup. You know, obviously Islanders in 1993 knocked off a much better team in Pittsburgh by winning game 6 at home, winning game 7 in double overtime on the road. So you look for things that give you comfort in the next 24 hours before they drop the puck.
Yeah, and I'll kind of poo-poo on that a little bit because the Lightning haven't lost 2 games in a row in the past 2 postseasons. They've always rebounded and, you know, and come back. So it's all set up for the Islanders. You know, score the first goal, have a lead going on the first intermission, and just get the Tampa Bay a 2-game losing streak. It's all there for them. I mean, like you said, this isn't a young team. There are a lot of question marks going forward. Cizikas, you have to re-sign Pelech. You got to re-sign Pavulia. Sorokin, you don't have to really worry about Palmieri, Zajac, all these players. But that's something to worry about in 3 weeks. Let's
just quickly on that. I put out a tweet yesterday, maybe midway through the second period. I said, Casey Cizikas, who may be playing his final game as an Islander, has had the most jump or the biggest motor in this game so far. And I got everyone. Ratio this, delete this, how dare you? I'm like, this is just reality. He's a UFA, and the Islanders have their issues that the two-time defending GM of the year is going to have to try to figure out. Surprise. We'll pause. We'll just talk about that for a second.
Right.
I'm thrilled that Lou Lamoriello won the award again, but I was a little surprised because I'm going, so they must take into account playoffs when they're voting for this. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, he made the Tage trade, the, you know, Devon Tage trade, which he had to kind of make, forced to make, got 2 second round picks for a guy who had a really great year in Colorado.
Right.
And then he makes the Palmieri trade in response to losing Lee and getting Palmieri and Zajac. But obviously the team slipped down the standings, not up the standings following that trade. So what exactly, you know, if you want to say carrying on to the playoffs, I guess there's a case for it. I don't know. It took me a little bit surprised that Lou got it this year.
Braden Colburn, 2 words.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah. But no, I mean, it's the only award where postseason does factor in because they wait until the postseason to announce the nominees. And it's always GMs that make the postseason. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at it, it was Mark Bergevin. I forgot who the other guy was, right? Was it the Minnesota Wild guy? I can't remember who.
I was liking that too.
I can't remember who the third guy was. But yeah, I mean, like, no one even thought they'd win the first series, second series, and then they're advanced further than they did last year by one game right now. Why not give it to them? I mean, that Tage trade didn't hurt them right now.
Mm-hmm.
So might as well give them the award. I mean, who cares? You know, I mean, if you look at all the other awards, all the Lady Bing, I mean, I don't know if you've seen Twitter with the Lady Bing Award.
Yeah.
Talk about that award. I mean, it's like a border war between Canada and the States. I mean, how dare Jacob Slavin from Carolina win that award over, you know, noted heroes Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid, you know? So whatever. I mean, awards are awards. The only awards I really want to see, Conn Smythe. You know, mm-hmm. I want to see an Allen win a Conn Smythe this year. But you know what? It probably won't. Even if they win Stanley Cup, they'll give it to
him. Give it a Carey Price.
They'll give it a Carey Price. They'll give it a Carey Price. It'll happen. Mark my words, you know.
But wow, I can't believe we're getting ready for a Game 7. I'm so excited. And just, you know, if that was the last game at the Coliseum,
yeah.
I mean, what an absolute perfect way for that barn, which has been getting its due, I think, from the masses. You even had guys like Steve Dangle. From Toronto Maple Leafs fame, you know, talking about how it's the, you know, the craziest, most wild, you know, right. scene in hockey right now is the Nassau Coliseum. The team has done a great job of getting, you know, celebrities and people who normally don't attend New York Islander hockey games in the arena. We're used to seeing Ralph Macchio. We're used to seeing Damian Woody now, who had an amazing video right. in the moments afterwards. By the way, I loved his pep talk he was on. I guess the wake up show with Mike Greenberg earlier in the day, and you know they got an opportunity to talk hockey and pretty much said, you know, don't even look at the tape, just go out there. And it was a bit of a pep talk, and actually, like, I needed that. That made me feel better about it, you know. But then they had some, you know, they've had obviously the Jets players there, which has been fun. For some reason, Kevin Love has been back to back.
Yeah, he was there.
I was there when Susan Lucci was there.
Right.
I mean. You know, this all goes back to ownership, though. These guys understand what they're doing. Right. Those people just don't find their way to the games. Yeah. People are making outreach. They know who's on Long Island. They know who may want to come.
Right.
You know, they bring them there. And even the stuff that's on social media, like just before we started recording, the team put out another 2.5-3 minute video that is like a, you know, made for HBO behind the scenes documentary, 3 minutes.
Right.
They never used to put out stuff like this. They're making investments everywhere it matters.
It's great.
And they have an owner that's out there in the corridor banging drums after games, hugging sweaty fans, going nuts. It's a special feeling right now to be an Islander fan.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And I don't even know if they mentioned the broadcast, but Tim Tuffle was there from the, you know, the 86
I heard Greg Wyshynski posted, I guess they kind of – hinted at the 1986 Mets being there, and then they didn't show anyone, and then they showed Tuffle later. I guess Tuffle might have went to the bathroom or something.
Probably, yeah. And then Allie Long from the women's soccer national team was there, who two chugged a beer, so that was pretty cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. That should carry over, I think, as a tradition to Belmont. Oh, if you're a celebrity, you gotta chug a beer.
Yeah.
And speaking of beer, we'll spend a moment on I didn't have a big deal with it. You know, a lot of people went overboard. The broadcast crew, Boucher and Olchek, I mean, I'm fine to mention what's going on. Like you say, oh, they're throwing, you know, beer cans on the ice. They should be careful. They're, you know, their team is still out there, a little dangerous. Right. That would have been it. They went on and on and on. I'm not sure if you went back and listened. No, they were lecturing, like literally lecturing, you know, and it really did take away from like the moment a little bit. Like the team's out there and you're getting ready for them to announce the three stars. And Kenny Albert was pretty quiet about it. I think it's something you mentioned and touch on, but they really dwelled on it. A little bit, and I understand. Listen, you don't want to see it. I don't think it's unnecessary. I'm not someone that would probably pick a beer can up and throw it. I honestly don't know too many people. I think I don't know too many people that would have, but obviously there were people that felt differently that were there at the moment. And, you know, I'm sure they weren't really full, even if some had some residue at the bottom and no one got hurt. So it is what it is. You know, some people had fun with it. Again, Wyshynski said, you know, beer can confetti, you know, raining down at the Coliseum. Right. And, you know, where else would that happen? So in some ways, it was a bit of a very appropriate, you know, send off. You had Beauvillier after the game saying, you know, this place smelled like cigarettes. Now it smells like a beer. Right. You also had him talking about how he always answering questions after the game. He's basically saying, I blacked out. Like, I can't tell you anything that just happened. You know, just fantastic answer.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, I look at it, I mean, the Islander fans basically contributing to Casey Zika's contract next year. Mm-hmm. Collect them, give them to Lou, add it to his contract next year. You know, because obviously you know, the Lightning can play with like, you know, $20 million over the cap, and that's allowed. So,
maybe Andrews Lee won't come back until the playoffs next year. Yeah. Although he looks like you're wondering about, you know, what is the captain doing during this period? You see him, you know, obviously up in the press box watching the games, and then you get these, you know, these little clips of him doing drills during, you know, optional skates, and he looks pretty good. You know, like, I think if they actually won a cup or won a trophy, that he probably laced on the skates and come down and.
Go around
the rink, but you see him now in the dressing room in these behind the scene videos, announcing the starting lineup, being there, shaking hands with the guys, and you can see how very much involved he still is as a very vocal captain in the room for that group. Even though, as we talked about a week and a half ago, how much it must be absolutely killing him that he's not on the ice, he looks as thrilled as ever for his teammates.
Absolutely, and this is, I mean, the next best thing. You know, keep him involved. You know, he's the true captain of this team. And I mean, if somehow we're still talking about this a couple of weeks from now, he's definitely going to be the first one holding the cup in full gear. You know, he's not going to limp over there and crutches drained. He's going to skate over, you know, shake the commissioner's hand and pick up the cup. So,
I can't believe we're in the position we're in. I just can't believe that this is it. It's still unreal that this is really the New York Islanders that we're talking about. For years, I used to be. You know, I know the Rangers never got over the hump and they got to the final and lost a very, very close five-game series to the Kings. Very frustrating series, I'm sure, if you're a Ranger fan. But I used to think, I'm like, wow, they gave them so many great moments. How many game sevens and overtime winners, you know, St. Louis and Derek Stepan. I mean, they had such great moments, and I'm like, wow, it must be great to be part of a fan base that goes through these kind of runs year in and year out. And here you are as an Islander fan now, and they've given you now, you know, three consecutive years of winning playoff rounds, but now two consecutive trips to the conference finals. I mean, there's only four teams still playing, and them and the Lightning are the only two that have been playing this long for the last 2 years. Exactly. I think them and the Lightning have the most, you know, playoff games played in the last 2 years. Right. So this is, and I forgot who it was. I think maybe it was Larry Brooks in the Post today wrote about, you know, win or lose, this Islanders team will forever, you know, be in the hearts and minds and memories of this fan base and everyone associated with it on Long Island. You know, the 93 team was kind of a flash. You know, it really was just like a flash, like a shooting star. You know, they didn't really have any success prior, didn't have any success after. This is a team that's kind of grown together, large parts of it. So it's a different feel, but you know all they're really missing is that cherry on top, which is getting to the final and winning the cup. Right. A special group nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, well, tomorrow's gonna. I mean, it's gonna feel like an eternity. We have to 8 o'clock, and it's. I mean, but, you know, I'm a little bit older than you, and like a lot of listeners, so I remember 93 vividly. Obviously, Easter Epic, which was fantastic as well. You know, even a couple of years ago, I mean, I'll mention his name, the Tavares game, you know, against the Panthers. I mean, that was an amazing moment that kind of people have already forgotten already because it happened with Tavares, happened at Barclays Center. But with Capuano, I mean, there's so many things that people tend to forget now about their franchise because of the last 3 years under, you know, Barry and Lou. But that was an amazing moment. So the last like 5 years, we've had these amazing moments, and just let's not, you know, let's end on these notes. Let's, there are a couple more chapters to write in the story. So let's, you know.
And every team that's playing, you know, feels as if it's their destiny to win the cup until it's not. Yeah. Right now, the Montreal Canadiens feel like it's their destiny. If you're a fan of the team, down 3-1, the Toronto, you come back, you rally, you sweep the Winnipeg.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, and you know, it's kind of like the 99 Knicks, you know, you, you know, you win game five in Miami, you sweep the Hawks, you win six games in Indiana. You're like, they're going on the magical run. Next thing you know, you just run into a better team and you're out in five games against the San Antonio Spurs. So we shall see how it happens, but I'm very happy that I'll be watching as a nervous wreck on Friday night, and hope that it's a sleepless night for the good reasons and not for the not for the bad reasons. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have our Isles Buzz segment on some other fun items happening around Islanders country. You're listening to PT Isles, part of the Lighthouse Hockey Podcast Network. We're back, PT Isles, Joe Bono, and a horse, Noel Fogelman, who I believe also got a new hammock for Father's Day.
Yes.
Can you tell us about the hammock?
Sure. It was a surprise for Father's Day. I had a previous one that, if you know hammocks, it was kind of like a banana sack where it kind of folded up. So if you go in it, you kind of get sucked in, and it wasn't very comfortable at all. So that one is currently in my shed. My lovely wife, Jody, and my kids surprised me with it, and it's fantastic. I spent a good 2 hours in it the other day. Nice and comfortable. I mean, if I can get away from the family, you know, spend more time in the hammock. But happy belated Father's Day to all the fathers out there, especially you who got the greatest Father's Day gift.
Yeah, very cool. Got to also introduce my father and my brother to their niece and their granddaughter on Father's Day. Did not get a hammock. The house we bought in Connecticut actually came with a hammock. So that was good. Came with a lot of problems, like all houses do, that I've been working my way through over the last few months. But hammock has been as advertised. Some other things going on I just want to talk about briefly is someone that's having an amazing postseason, not actually someone who gets on the ice or laces up the skates for the Islanders, but I'm talking about photographer Dennis De Silva, who I followed for a while now. He would have a lot of game day photos that were really nice. And then he kind of has exploded in the last few weeks, in part because he has gotten these amazing reaction shots from Frank Borelli and Borelli's and the live videos that they're doing for Barstool Sports of these reaction shots, first during the Islander Bruins series, and now they've kind of carried on, but not with the exact same buzz, because they had the, you know, Feidelberg and they had the Boston personalities there watching and Borelli's them. But those got a ton of attention. And he has been doing an amazing job just going around the Coliseum and taking these very, I've never seen anyone really take photos the way he kind of does with lighting. All different fans kind of showing how excited and pumped up they are, and just random shots throughout the game. You know, we're so used to seeing the, you know, the Bruce Bennetts of the world and their amazing live game footage, but I get very excited to see what Dennis is able to come up with over the course of these games, just walking around the arena and capturing these special unique moments, you know, night in and night out. So I wanted to make sure I get him his due, because he's just done an amazing job this postseason.
Absolutely. And if you take a look at the ones yesterday he took with John Ledecky in the concourse with the fans, it's just unbelievable. You know, it's such a candid shot. And, you know,
Ledecky looks like a madman. It's unbelievable how excited he is.
I know.
He's not in the press box. He's down. He watches these games down in the stands with the fans. And that's what I would, if I was as beloved as Jean Ledecky, that's where I would be too.
Absolutely. The only thing we're missing is him just chugging a beer. And that'll probably happen after game seven tomorrow night. Let's hope. Yeah. But did you hear Chris King's call of Avilier's goal?
You only hear a part of it because as soon as the goal gets scored, you really can't hear Chris King anymore.
Right. Fantastic. And I guess he made the rounds. I think he was on the Dan Patrick show this morning.
I think so. Yeah. He was on the Dan Patrick show this morning as well. What I didn't see that I wanted to see, maybe they're just holding on to it just to kind of, you know, stretch out the content. But for the Pulock save, they had a camera on him and Greg Picker when he made that call. And you had Greg Picker in the background and his jaw was down on the ground like for a good 10 seconds as that play unfolded. I was hoping that maybe they would have the same video of Kinger calling that Beauvillier goal. And as we talk about announcers, I mean, how excited were we all that Brendan Burke was going to be calling game five thinking that, and he was, you know, he's so self-aware, Brendan Burke too. Right. And so funny on Twitter. So after the game ends, he goes, I told you there was a few more stories to tell.
Yeah.
And then he goes, by the way, I am not calling game 7,
right.
You know,
yeah.
You know, yeah. I got all excited, you know, him to call game 7, you got to hear Everly again, you know, the way he does it.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, we were just so pumped up for him to be calling our games. And I think as they put it on Twitter, you know, the game didn't even allow, you know, Lightning fans to call him a homer. You know, there was nothing the Islanders did well that you could even give a hint that he could even be complimentary towards.
Right. Absolutely. I went to the Connecticut meetup for game 5 and props to Eric and everyone setting up, you know, not only the Connecticut meetup, but all the ones across the country. It's fantastic and how they've grown over the past year and into the playoffs. But I left after the second intermission. It was like 6-0. Like, kids, let's just get the hell out of here. Let's go home and we'll finish watching Raw.
You know, I mean, the viewing party. I mean, after the letter to Laura Curran and they worked through all the things with NBC and to get the actual thing put together. And now everyone was like, we're not having a viewing party. And I don't think they are. I think people are very superstitious or a little stitious.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're advertising the various meetups and the bars in the cities that are going to happen. But I haven't seen anything about people going into the Coliseum to watch game 7. Not after what happened. You had that one fan that it kind of looked like it was staged. I mean, I can't even believe like that was real.
I know.
You know, throwing down his Pageau jersey, taking off and then running off. I guess he was going to the bathroom and then coming back and then doing it again. Didn't necessarily get his name. Of who that was, but it was just funny that there was so much excitement and they sold out so quickly, the viewing party, and you know it was everyone just left. Everyone went home at the second period, and then there were a few people. You know, Nick Kershaw just wrote the book "We Want Fish Sticks." He hung around to the end.
Right.
We're getting some live updates from that, but you know, pretty funny how that much of a debacle that was.
Oh, absolutely. Now, like, what? And I mean, I know you're kind of tied to being home, but I'm one where, I mean, obviously they have the Connecticut meetup, you know, tomorrow night too. And if anyone's interested, it's at the Liberty Rock Tavern in Milford. And there's Connecticut also, you know, the Queens one, New York City one, everything like that. But I'm staying home on my couch for game 7. I can't go out for this. I mean, there's so much, you know, tension and pressure, and I'm going to be a nervous wreck. And I just need to be on my couch. Like, I don't know how you feel about these meetings.
Yeah, but it's weird. Like, I, you know, you feel like you want to be with people to kind of have that experience, but you miss a lot. Like, even if you're at a game, you miss a lot of commentary and replays and things that you otherwise wouldn't. And I'm obviously much more effective on social media, you know, being at home and having my laptop and being able to capture things as well as home. And I'm not a big watching games at bars because I feel like I'm not as immersed in what's going on. So it would be really hard to stay away. Like, if they were playing a Stanley Cup final game and there was an opportunity to win a cup, like, I don't know if I could just be like by myself in my house and not participate in any way with anyone. That would probably be something I would make a concession for. I mean, you know, last night it's whatever time, 11 something at night. And, you know, I'm downstairs because I have it downstairs now. I don't live in an apartment anymore. And I got to, you know, I yelled out, you know, when the overtime goal happened and you got to worry about, you know, did you wake up the baby? Did you wake up the daughter? Did you wake up the wife? You know, you know, and I walked into the bedroom like they won. She's like, I heard you. I know, you know, and then she has to sit through all the replays, you know, the next morning. And pretend that she cares. But we'll see. I would love to maybe do something if I can I know I need permission. I mean, I only got permission to go to this game because my wife told me she didn't get me a birthday gift, anniversary gift, or a Father's Day gift, all of which happened in a 7-8 day period. And she said, okay, well, yeah, as a gift, you are allowed to go to see the Islanders.
Right. Yeah. I love how we need permission for this stuff, you know?
Hell yeah. The newborn stuff, you know, she does, you know, she does have a point.
Right. No, absolutely.
Tough on our end. what's your thoughts on how the national media is thinking about the Islanders now? Like, I can't get a sense of whether or not they're being complimentary or it's still like tongue in cheek or a little bit like, you know, how are they doing this smoke and mirrors type? I can't get a sense, you know, and they've had different broadcast crews for each series. You know, I can't get a, I mean, Ryan Whitney from Spit and Chiplets, we know how he feels about the Islanders. Right. I think he said that the Islanders and Canadians end up playing each other. He just won't watch. But he also, I think, made a bet. Didn't he say that he would wait tables at Pirelli's if the Islanders beat the Lightning? So that, I would hope that would happen. Yeah. But I can't get a sense as to whether or not, you know, it's like, okay, we're going to give them credit. Yeah, this is kind of what they do, you know?
No, they haven't gotten credit for any of these series yet. You know, and like, we still have Penguin writers from The Athletic.
British that guy, Joe Haggerty, whoever he is, that Bruins guy.
Yeah, Bruins. He's the worst, you know, and it's just like, screw them, you know. They're on the, you know, ninth hole, both the Penguins and the Bruins, you know, the writers. Just don't worry about the Islanders. You know what? They're not your team. Don't follow. You're not a national writer. Just, you know, why bother? It makes you look so bad. But even the broadcast, you know, teams, it's always what the other team didn't do, what they failed to do, not what the Islanders did. And it's going to be the same way. The Islanders win the cup, they'll probably still be seventh in the power rankings, you know, and who cares? You know, I don't.
Well, now you even have a built-in, you know, if they are able to win game seven and Kucherov doesn't play, I mean, that is obviously going to be the narrative coming out of Tampa and other cities that they didn't have to beat. They beat the Lightning without Kucherov and he was hit, you know, the cross check or however he was hurt, either that or going after Barzal. As the reason why the Islanders were able to win that series and knock off the defending champions. And, you know, if they end up playing Montreal, it would be a four seed ended up being a four seed. You know, they'd be a top team out of the Western Conference or somewhere else. You know, so be it. You know, if that's what happens, that'll be just fine.
Exactly. I don't care what Ryan Whitney thinks. Let him. He's a tool anyway. I don't care what he thinks. I don't care what any of the national media thinks. They win for the Islander fans. You know, let us celebrate it. I don't care what any of the broadcasts, there's the national writers, Ranger fans, Devil fans, they don't care. You know, and no Islander fans should care either. You know, if they can raise the cup, they're raising the cup. You know what? And I'm sure people complain.
The fact that we're talking about that they can actually win a Stanley Cup in the final season ever played at the Nassau Coliseum. Right. I mean, you might as well just say, you know, you don't have to win another Stanley Cup for the rest of my life because that'll be good enough. That'll be sweet enough for pretty much every Islander fan that's been following this team, you know, since the dynasty years, waiting for this type of a moment, you know, to come back and return. So Noel, get some rest if you can, because it looks like it might be another sleepless night on Friday, either in a good way or a bad way, but sleep this nonetheless. And hopefully we have a few more sleepless nights ahead of us and another series to watch and the Islanders to be on the biggest stage of them all. Hopefully next time that we're recording this, and that would be the Stanley Cup final, but a game seven that if you want these, you know, iconic moments to stick, and even the memories of the series against Pittsburgh and the Palmieri goal and the Bailey goal and what they did against the Bruins, and winning that series. If you want these moments in this run to really elevate to that next level, got to go out and win game seven.
No question. No question. It validates everything prior to the series. Yeah, drive for five continues.
Never stopped. No. All right, so that'll do it for this episode of PT Isles. We hope we're talking to you again next week, hopefully with the Islanders in the Stanley Cup final. Until then, for Noel Fogelman, I am Joe Bono. We will talk to you next time, Islanders Country. Good night.